Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here with you to preview week number 6 in the National Football League. We'll go over some news and notes as well, but first, a reminder, you can check us out on Twitter, at Joe M's right arm. Again, at Joe M's right arm. Also on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com. JoeMontanasRightArm.com. A lot to discuss today in relationship to the NFL in Week 6. Some intriguing games coming up this week with the bye weeks well underway, but the teams that are on bye, one or two of them, making some news that we'll get to in just a bit. Also, we'll have a look at the top five and bottom five teams in the NFL under our view, and a whole lot more here coming up on this latest edition of the JMRA Podcast. So, without further ado, let's get to news and notes. Big on-the-field news coming on Wednesday, as we tape this on early Thursday morning. Nate Solder of the New England Patriots, the starting left tackle for the Pats, suffered a torn right biceps during the game against the Cowboys on Sunday, the 30-6 win over Dallas, and he is now out for the season. So, that is Tom Brady's blindside protector, now out for the year with a torn right biceps. That could very well be a pivotal injury for the Patriots. However, if there's one guy who can survive losing an offensive lineman, it's Tom Brady because of how quickly he gets rid of the football. Now, having said that, clearly that's going to be an issue you would think in some of the matchups later on in the season when, for example, New England faces Denver later on this year on Sunday Night Football. Obviously, you want to make sure your line healthy, especially at tackle, going up against the likes of DeMarcus Ware if he's playing by then, and Von Miller. So that is a critical injury potentially to the Patriots. Marcus Cannon is one of the candidates who is potentially expected to start in place of Solder. Elsewhere, off the field news. Of course, the game on Monday night between the Chargers and Steelers saw one of the more bizarre things in recent memory in terms of clock operation. If you go to the blog on JoeMontanasRightArm.com, you can check this out in full detail. There were 18 seconds that were not played from Monday night's game between the Chargers and the Steelers because when San Diego took the 20-17 lead over Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh got the ball back, and it was kicked to them with 2 minutes and 56 seconds left to go. But when you go back and watch the video, you see that as Michael Vick is running onto the field, the clock is ticking. That's illegal. The clock is ticking and running as he's going over instructions with his teammates and things of that nature. So 18 seconds from that game missing, and as a result, reportedly, the NFL has decided to suspend side judge Rob Vernacci. It is, now, granted, he was not the clock operator, but he is the side judge, and the side judge is considered to be one of the main arbiters of clock operation. So the fact that they missed 18 seconds running off the clock is astonishing, and it's a shame because if you did not catch the end of that game, it featured the officiating stylings of, I believe, Sarah Thomas out there, and she was on the goal line as Le'Veon Bell fell into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. So, Vernacci suspended reportedly for a game over his failure to maintain a proper clock. And, hey, this stuff needs to happen more with officials. There's too much nonsense going on in games that's actually incorrect. It needs to get fixed. And that stuff needs to be cleaned up. There's no question about it. I'm all for suspending referees, finding them if they can't do their jobs. Now, I'm sure that has happened before, but we just don't find out about it. Clearly, this is in a different climate. Speaking of the NFL off the field, I highly recommend, once you get done listening to this podcast, spend some time on Google if you don't have the wherewithal to search it under different means go to Google and do a search on Mike Francesa and Bill Simmons. I love those two guys as far as their abilities go. Mike Francesa, number one sports talk show host in New York City. And also Bill Simmons, of course, now of HBO, no longer of ESPN. Those two got together for what turned out to be almost a 40-minute interview today on Mike's On, the Mike Francesa show on WFAN in New York. And they talked about a lot of things, including the NFL. And Simmons gave his take on where he stood with Roger Goodell as far as the Ray Rice situation goes and the situation with the Patriots and Deflategate. It is a great listen. Highly recommend that you check it out. So just hop on to Google and search Mike Francesa and Bill Simmons. You will not be sorry. You will thank me later. Some other news and notes. Brandon Whedon for the Cowboys has been benched, and he is, quote, pissed. Those are his words over the benching, reportedly by the Cowboys, who will now give over the reins to Matt Castle, who they recently signed not that long ago. And Whedon, you know, you look at his completion percentage, it's 72%, but he's not moving the offense. And that's really, at the end of the day, it comes down to scoring points in the NFL. It doesn't come down to who has the best completion percentage. And 72% looks great, but in the end, it is not so hot. So Whedon, hot over getting the gate and the hook from the Cowboys. It will be Matt Castle taking over for Dallas when they get out of their bye week. Also, this is more of a bizarre story. So they interviewed Tom Brady on Monday, and by interview, I believe it's Dennis and Callahan on WEEI out of Boston who interview Brady every Monday morning. So it's, again, much like the Simmons-Francesa interview we alluded to a few moments ago, this is a long interview. It's about 35 minutes or so. And during the course of the interview, they asked Brady about his ties to nutrition and things of that nature. His one of his business associates has come under scrutiny, so they're getting into that and getting into Brady's nutritional habits. And one of the things that came up was that Brady hates Frosted Flakes, says it's not real food, also referred to Coca-Cola as poison. That is fantastic that he actually said this. It's funny. I don't know if I'll have time to get into this on the blog. Maybe I will one day. But Frosted Flakes has been the bane of people's existence dating back roughly over a century. The history of Frosted Flakes is crazy because people thought for years that eating sugary cereals led to perhaps questionable ethical behavior. I know, it sounds really weird. I'm not making a lot of sense right now. But trust me, look up Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. Chuck Klosterman, he wrote an article, or I'm sorry, wrote a chapter on Frosted Flakes. Great, great part of the book. It'll give you some insight on what people were thinking about Frosted Flakes decades ago, and it was not good. So, I'll give it to you like this. You have people who eat Corn Flakes, and you have people who eat Frosted Flakes. The people that ate Corn Flakes were considered far more normal and far more socially acceptable than the folks that ate Frosted Flakes. If you ate Frosted Flakes, you're a little bit of a nut job. I think that was the gist of the chapter from Chuck Klosterman in Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. Anyhow, it's time to transition to the Week 6 slate of the National Football League, and we'll take a look first Thursday night action. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the New Orleans Saints. I mean, it goes without saying that it's a big game for the Saints, but at this point, is it really a season-saving type win for the Saints if they can get it over the Falcons? At this point, their season may very well be over, and these rumors about Sean Payton going to Miami or Indianapolis, that can't be helping at all to further compound the issues with Drew Brees. There could be a real house cleaning there in New Orleans over the next 12 to 18 months. Certainly a situation to keep your eye on. The 5-0 Cincinnati Bengals on the road at Buffalo taking on the Bills. The Bills may not start Tyrod Taylor. Could be EJ Manuel, of all people, to start for the Bills against the Bengals. I think either way, you have to feel pretty good if you're a Bengals fan going into this game. Yes, Rex Ryan could put together a defensive game plan. We get that part of it. But if you're a Bengals fan, you have to feel, I think, pretty good going on the road against Buffalo, who doesn't have a great quarterback. Sammy Watkins is banged up right now. The running back situation is a mess for Buffalo due to health. So not a bad time to catch the Bills at all. The Denver Broncos on the road again at the Cleveland Browns. Not sure what to expect out of this one other than it's going to be probably a pretty sizable beatdown. Now, having said that, again, the Broncos engaged in a low-scoring type contest. The calendar here in a few weeks is going to turn to November. And when it turns to November, that's when you really have to start paying attention to where Peyton Manning is going with the rest of his season. I mean, you don't want to be in a spot if you're a Broncos fan where it's Peyton really trying to drum up the offense again, and certainly they need that done because of the struggles as of late, but we've seen it. We've seen Manning go through these incredible stretches in terms of production, but now you wonder, is this the guy to get you to where you want to go? Is this the guy to get you to the Super Bowl? I don't know. Last week's game against Oakland, that was I would say that's a red flag if you're a Broncos fan. Your only touchdown came on a pick six on a terribly thrown ball by Derek Carr. Scary situation right now if you're a Broncos fan. The Bears at the Lions. So the Bears coming off of that crazy win against Kansas City where they come from behind late on the touchdown pass from Jake Cutler to Matt Forte. And then, of course, thrown in there, you have the Jamal Charles injury. To boot, the Lions are 0-5. They're a complete mess right now. Complete mess. And the Matt Stafford situation, you know, I heard a great point brought up about Matt Stafford this week by a few national writers. You know, this is Matt Stafford's seventh year. Like, you feel like if this guy's going to be good, it would have already happened. And I just think we may have seen the best of him. I think that's a major concern if you're the Lions. Elsewhere, Houston at Jacksonville, awful game, awful. Blake Bortles is going to look like Joe Montana out there on the field with the likes of Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. It looks like Hoyer will get the start for Houston. Kansas City and Minnesota, that should be an entertaining game as the Vikings look to continue their role out of the bye week. Washington taking on the Jets. That's a tough stretch there for Washington to play the Falcons in their building and then travel back to the East Coast to take on the Jets. That is not an easy chore for the Redskins. Game I like a lot, Arizona taking on Pittsburgh. And a matchup of Ben Roethlisberger's old offensive coordinator and Bruce Arians taking on the Steelers again. And it looks like Roethlisberger will not be ready for this game. But a lot of intrigue to this contest. You have a team in Arizona who has established itself as one of the better teams in the NFC this season. And then you have Pittsburgh who is, you know, they got a big time life raft on Monday night against the Chargers. Got real, real, real help in terms of being able to get out of that potential jam. I think that you look at Arizona, solid team. The Steelers are still trying to figure it out a little bit under the leadership of Michael Vick. Miami at Tennessee. Oh, boy. The Dan Campbell era is set to begin in Miami. So best of luck to Coach Campbell. He may need it going up against Tennessee, who, you know, Tennessee's not a terrible team. You know, they didn't play the best game in the world last week against Buffalo. But still, I think you'd expect they'll be able to make this thing a street fight. Carolina at Seattle, rematch of last year's NFC divisional playoff game between the Seahawks and the Panthers. Intriguing game. Panthers undefeated so far against a Seattle club that is in, if they're not in panic mode come Sunday night, they should be. That is a very, very important game. Cannot lose that game if you're Seattle. San Diego heading to the road against Green Bay. Oh, It's just not a good stretch here for the Chargers. Now having to deal with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on a short rest week. Super Bowl 47 rematch. The Baltimore Ravens taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, one of the major components from that game is missing in the form of Jim Harbaugh. So, John Harbaugh will have a chance to go out to Jim's old employer to see what he can get done. And the Ravens, I mean, the Ravens are toast at this point. I think we would all agree on that. This is a team that's really 1-4 and going nowhere fast. With that type of defense, those type of receivers, just not going to be a good run at all for them. And then the Sunday Nighter, New England at Indianapolis. This is a game that people in the northeast region of the country have been waiting for with bated breath, because it's a chance for the Patriots and their fans to live vicariously through the team by beating Indianapolis like they stole something. And I think, you know, you look at that game, the injury situation with Matt Hasselbeck and Andrew Luck has to be sorted out, and it will be sorted out by the time the Patriots and Colts get set to hook it up on Sunday. But I think if you're the Colts, some cat-and-mouse games could be played here with taking a look at Luck versus Hasselbeck. So that's one thing to keep in mind getting ready for this game. Otherwise, I can't imagine this is going to be too much different than what we've seen in the past. I'm not sure it'll be the whitewashing of 45-7 that we saw in the AFC title game, but clearly Patriots fans want blood. They want 50 points. They want 60 points against the Colts, and I can't say that I blame them. You know, you look at the team that's responsible for bringing about Deflategate, it's the Colts. So I think it comes down to whatever you get if you're the Indianapolis Colts next Sunday night. And then on Monday Night Football, good game. Giants at Eagles, as the Giants try to step out and really grab a hold of the NFC East. The Giants coming off of that big win against the 49ers. And the Eagles, conversely, coming off of one of their better performances of the year against the Saints last week. So if you're an Eagles fan looking to kind of continue that groundswell of momentum to build perhaps towards a playoff berth at some point. But anyhow, certainly a lot needs to be sorted out with that NFC East, regardless of the winner of the game. Not over by a long shot. As we have made our way through week 6, let's take a look quickly at the top 5. Number 5, the Atlanta Falcons. You knew that at some point you were going to get that Falcons clunker, but the Falcons played well enough against Washington to earn a victory. Number 4, the Denver Broncos. If they had even a smidge of offense, you would put them higher up on this list. But to no avail, not the case. Number 3, the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if anybody had the Bengals winning after the score is 24-7. I don't see a lot of people having the Bengals as a team that could rally and overcome that type of deficit. So they did, and as a result, the Bengals will look forward to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Number 2, the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, not the best of games from the Packers last week. Certainly, you look at some of the raw numbers, it looks good on the behalf of Aaron Rodgers, but as a whole, that team, I think, has a few holes that need to be addressed. Obviously, defensively, I think that team may have some problems down the road. And the Patriots finishing atop the top 5. You look at New England right now, they're playing pretty well on all 3 sides of the football, offense, defense, and special teams. And that's really, as a head coach, all you can ask. You want that type of production put together. And we'll see if the Patriots can answer some of the challenges coming up later on in the schedule. And alas, that means we have reached our conclusion, the end of the line here on the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, reminding you that you can check us out on, well, actually, you can check us out in previous ways through the podcast first. You can check us out on SoundCloud. If you do not have SoundCloud, simply go to SoundCloud.com and you'll be able to find us there. You can check us out on Twitter at JoeM's Right Arm and through the blog, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. That'll do it for week number 6. Until next time, happy football, everybody.